will talk about politics, state and national, from the attempt to recall Governor Walker to the latest from the presidential campaign trail. And we will want to hear from you in more ways than one this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 7 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, October the 13th. Before we talk politics with UW-Madison political science professor Charles Franklin, we will talk pledge with Rob Ferret. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning, Joy. It is our half the time pledge drive. We usually have our biggest pledge drive of the year in the fall, 12 days long. We're still having a big pledge drive, but we're trying to make the same amount of money in 6 days. We
can
do it.
It can't be done.
It can't be? Well, maybe.
It can be done.
I think it can, and it can be done with your help and your very important pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we have a special incentive this hour, which ensures that we are going to get it done. We have a challenge grant.
That's right. We have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $5,000. That means your pledge, if you make it now, it's doubled. Count it double. One, two, 100, 200, however you want to do it. Current members have ponied up a bunch of cash. They're offering up to $5,000 if we can raise that much this hour. So your pledge goes twice as far this hour. How do you make a pledge? It's easy. It just takes 2-3 minutes at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 with this match. It's a great time, an exciting time to do it.
It is a great time. Your pledge means a lot to Wisconsin Public Radio. It helps pay for the programming that you value. And your pledge during this hour with this challenge grant going on essentially doubles. So it's a wonderful time to show your support for Wisconsin Public Radio. Rob, I should report that we did reach our goal in the last hour, and that's great. And now our goal during this hour is 80 pledges, and we really do need to keep making these goals in order to make this half the time pledge drive concept work. So make your pledge now, won't you, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
In that big long pledge drive, 12 days, it's okay if we have a slow day here. This hour doesn't quite do well enough because we know we've got a whole bunch more days to make it up. We don't have all those days. We are working without a net here, people. Mm-hmm. We need your pledges. We need to meet these goals each and every hour. Make your pledge and have it matched with that match from current members at 888-202-2552 or online at WPR.org.
Think of all of the news and information and discussion about issues that you hear on this program and all of the Ideas Network talk shows every single day. We have talked lots of state and national politics, and we will again this hour. Your pledge now also is a vote in support of this kind of information and discussion and debate. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now, I know it's been a pretty quiet year in Wisconsin politics, national politics, and I know it's hard to get interest. Oh, no, wait.
Yeah.
It's been a heck of a year in Wisconsin and around the country and around the world, and I know a lot of you rely on us to bring you interesting, informed, opinionated discussion of all the events. The tumultuous year in Wisconsin, the battles in the White House, between the White House and Congress, the upcoming presidential election, all that stuff. You come here to hear people like Charles Franklin, who's sitting next to me, who knows everything about everything political, he's shaking his head. He's being falsely modest. Because you appreciate that kind of informed political discussion, make a pledge now to support it at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And don't wait, because your pledge is doubled if you make it now. It's a dollar-for-dollar matching grant from current members of Wisconsin Public Radio who want to encourage you to become a member of Wisconsin Public Radio with a pledge of any amount, a $5,000 matching grant. So make your pledge now of any amount. It's going to be doubled. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Two of you, three of you now have already taken us up on that match, or actually taken our current members up on that match. Thank you so much. How about you? Your dollar pledge, or your pledge is doubled dollar for dollar, up to $5,000. Make a pledge now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thank you, Rob. Come back a little bit later and tell us how we are doing. Now let's talk politics. We are very happy to have with us Charles Franklin, professor of political science at UW-Madison. He is co-developer of Pollster.com, and he is one of our regular guests and one of your favorite political analysts, so we're happy he could join us during this special Half the Time Pledge Drive. Good morning.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
And we have lots to go over. We thought that we would just try to have a grab bag here of all the top state and national political stories of the week so far. We'll do state during this half hour and national in our second half hour. And let's talk about the recall of Governor Walker. The effort to recall Governor Walker will commence. It was announced this week that starting November 15th, the signatures are going to start being collected. What do you make of this?
Well, I think that's the most interesting development lately, because there'd been some question. A lot of people in the base of the Democratic and labor movements really want this recall to move ahead and to happen at the first possible moment. The timing of it, the resources that have to go into it, and other campaigns that are going on is probably the best reason to wonder whether that's worth the effort. So after the summer recalls, the Democratic Party said it would rely on other groups to lead in the recall, though they would support those groups, which sounded a little bit tepid. But this week, Mike Tate, the chair of the Democratic Party, came out and announced that this will go ahead. It will begin collecting signatures in November, which would mean those signatures are due in mid-January. And the schedule is likely to slip a bit because it takes a long time to verify all the signatures. And you need over 540,000 signatures for this. It's a very large number. That would put an actual recall election very late March or April or possibly May, depending on how long it takes to certify the signatures. So we're launched. We're going to do this.
The attempt is going to be made anyway. Yeah.
The attempt will be made. I think whether it's possible to gather pushing 600,000 signatures in just 60 days means you need to get close to 10,000 signatures every day. And the one peculiar part is they've decided to hold this collection in a period that includes Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's. You might think that would slow down signature collection some. So the fact that these groups and the Democratic Party decided to go ahead must be a signal that they're pretty confident they can get those signatures. But that still remains to be seen. Assuming they get them, that will trigger the actual recall election.
There's no political intent with this comment, but my husband, when he heard about this effort, started singing "Happy Holidays" because can you imagine the holiday dinner tables?
And that's part of the question here. You know, as if we didn't have enough holiday parties with the Iowa caucuses and the national scene. We'll talk about that in the second half hour.
Yeah. So what about if this is successful and enough signatures are gathered to force the recall election of Governor Walker? Number one, does Rebecca Clayfish need to be recalled along with them?
As I understand it, nobody's exactly sure about this yet. The last I checked, which was a couple of weeks ago, the Government Accountability Board was still doing research on the law and what it implies. The strange bit is that the lieutenant governor is nominated in a separate primary, but elected along with the governor on a single ballot. And so there were at least two questions. One was, if Governor Walker is recalled, is Lieutenant Governor Clayfish automatically recalled with him? Do the recall petitions need to name both of them, or does there have to be a separate recall petition for her as well as for him?
And the answer is unclear at this point.
Again, I haven't checked in the last couple of weeks, but as of a couple of weeks ago, the answer was the law doesn't really anticipate this happening, and so it's unclear.
Who, though, are the potential Democratic challengers to Governor Walker should there be a recall election, in that Russ Feingold, former Senator Russ Feingold, said he's not going to go for it?
That's right. His name had come up as the favorite of Democrats at the Democratic Convention this past year. He was the favorite both for the Senate and for the gubernatorial recall. I think what we've been hearing in the last few days since this really became scheduled are a lot of names that we've heard. It's sort of like round up the usual suspects. Former Dane County Executive Kathleen Falk is one of the most prominent names mentioned in that usual suspects list, but in recent interviews has been signaling that she may in fact be interested in doing this race. And so that's one name that especially in Dane County is well known. But she's run statewide and lost before, and so that's still a possibility, though. Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett has been mentioned frequently. Obviously, he ran against Governor Walker last November, and according to some of the polls, voters now would prefer him to Governor Walker. But the mayor faces his own mayoral reelection in the spring, and so far at least hasn't signaled that he's that interested in getting in. When we go beyond that, we're talking state senators. Senator Erpenbach from the Madison area is one that's been mentioned. But at this point, I think it's fair to say that it's very unclear who will emerge as the Democratic front runner for this.
Yeah, Peter on Facebook wrote, Feingold had a chance, but without him, I'm not sure the Democrats will be able to pull off a recall victory against Governor Walker. What's your analysis of this potential?
I think there are two issues. One is, where is the Democratic bench strength, if you will? Where are the elected Democrats who have some level of statewide recognition? And the problem for the Democratic Party right now is they don't hold many statewide offices anymore. Senator Cole retiring is the last statewide, at least competitive, major elected official. And so you start to look at members of Congress. Well, Tammy Baldwin is running for the Senate seat. Ron Kind in the La Crosse area has been mentioned as another possibility as U.S. member of the House. But then you start looking at legislators or county executives. You know, I think one of the things here is that a strong voice for the Democrats in a recall election might be more important than a known name. But at this stage, by definition, an unknown but strong voice isn't on the front burner.
And by the way, Professor Franklin, the co-chair of United Wisconsin, which is the coalition group that is organizing the recall against Governor Walker, Peter Lawler, I believe, said yesterday that no decisions have been made yet on whether the recall will be for both Walker and Clayfish or just Walker. The Government Accountability Board has requested an opinion from the Attorney General's office on how a recall against the governor would affect the lieutenant governor. So we are indeed still waiting for that ruling, I guess.
I'm glad we could update that because I hadn't followed that lately.
Our guest is Charles Franklin, professor of political science at UW-Madison, here with us to talk state politics. We are talking right now about the potential recall of Governor Walker. We welcome your questions about this. Would you be signing a petition for that recall or not? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We will talk about some other state issues as well and national issues after 7:30. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine talking with Charles Franklin, professor of political science at UW-Madison. We're talking about some of the top stories in state politics during this segment of the program. And we have a number of callers who want to chime in. But before we go to the phones, there was a bill introduced this week in the state legislature. Senator Fred Risser and State Representative Mark Pocan, both Democrats, have introduced a bill that would restore collective bargaining rights for public employees in the state of Wisconsin, which were taken away in the last several months with the budget bill or the budget repair bill. And I'm wondering, Charles Franklin, if you think, what difference will this make?
Yeah. Well, they frankly say they don't expect it to pass. But in a way, this is sort of like Barack Obama's job bill in reverse. It's the minority party putting a bill out to stake the territory. I was talking earlier about Democrats need a strong voice in the recall. They need issues to run on. Putting this bill in the legislative process is a way for the Democratic Party to stake out specifically what they're for. When voters vote, they'll either decide they like that or they don't. So I think it's an important step for the party in defining itself as the opposition and what alternatives they're offering.
We have a caller, Brian in Madison, with us first. Hello, Brian.
Good morning.
Morning.
I just wanted to make a comment or maybe pose a question. Kind of moderate politically, sometimes kind of moderately interested, but have not been a fan of a lot of the Walker administration's approach to things. But I feel like there may be a number of people like me that don't fundamentally believe in a recall, a political recall in the middle of someone's term, you know, unless they were put into office under some fraudulent terms. And so while I have my opinions about what's going on, I probably won't sign a petition because philosophically I just don't want to support midterm recall elections.
Thank you very much, Brian. And that attitude is out there probably, Professor Franklin.
It certainly is. And one of the interesting things in the polling on this is that the percentage that would say they would vote against Governor Walker is a little bit higher than the percentage that say they want to see a recall. And so it seems that there is some evidence in the public, like the caller, that they're very ambivalent or even negative to the idea of recalls. And it's only when faced with a choice between, candidate A and candidate B that they are willing to go ahead and take a position, but on balance would just as soon not see recalls or recall in these circumstances, period. Now, we saw those same things in the Senate recalls last summer. Those obviously went ahead. But there is an element in the state of, are these the kinds of issues we use recalls for, or do we fight them out in regular general elections?
Representative Jeff Fitzgerald this week announced he will be a candidate for U.S. Senate. He wants to run in the primary to eventually go for Herb Kohl's seat. Herb Kohl retiring. He said this week that he thought his role in passing collective bargaining restrictions and other controversial legislation is a positive in his run. He thinks that this is going to help him. Any evidence of that?
Well, in the Republican primary, I think that's very likely. When we, again, look across all the polling, upwards of 85 to 92% of Republicans support Governor Walker, support the things that he did, and by inference, therefore, would support Jeff Fitzgerald's role in all of this. So I think that may help him in the GOP primary. That Republican primary for the U.S. Senate is shaping up to be a real battle for the heart and soul of the Republican Party in the state, with Fitzgerald, with Mark Newman, with Tommy Thompson, possibly Frank Lissay. At least it's a 3 or 4 candidate race that will really make the party look between choices that are, in Fitzgerald's case, strong supporters of the governor's policy. Mark Newman's case, a true conservative. Former Governor Thompson's case, the more moderate wing now of the Republican Party. And there's also a generational split. So that's going to be an extremely interesting primary.
Stand by, Professor Franklin. We will talk more about politics and national politics coming up in our next segment of the program. Joining me, though, for the next couple of minutes with an update on how we're doing in the Half the Time Pledge Drive is program producer Rob Ferret. Hello, Rob.
Hello, Joy. We have 24 pledges this hour toward our goal of 80. Thank you very much to those of you who have already pledged. Now it's your turn, and here's an extra super added reason to pledge right now. Not just because it's our Half the Time Pledge Drive and we're trying to do 12 days worth of fundraising in 6 days. If that's not reason enough, Your pledge is doubled this hour. We have a match from current members. Up to $5,000 worth of your pledges are, in effect, doubled by people who are already members of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks to those current members, by the way, who made that very generous contribution, that very generous challenge. Now it's your turn to take them up on it with your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Wow, the time is really now. Your pledge now will be doubled because of this $5,000 challenge grant that's going on. It's going to be a vote for talk that you appreciate on Wisconsin Public Radio, like this political talk that we have frequently on this program. It's also going to say, I appreciate that you have shortened your pledge drive. We like the idea of more programming and less fundraising. So lots of reasons to make your pledge. Do make it any amount. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Half the days in this pledge drive, doubling your money with a challenge grant right now. I don't want to overwhelm you with numbers, but here's another one. 2 to 3.
What does that mean?
That's how many minutes it takes to make a pledge.
Oh, okay.
On the computer at WPR.org. Or 888-202-2552. Just a couple few minutes to make a big difference for your public radio station.
WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Make your pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio because you know that this is listener-supported radio and you are a listener, and it's that simple. You listen, we hope you will support it because we count on listener support for one-third of our budget. We need your support to bring you the programming that you value. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio keeps you entertained and informed every day. Political talk here in the morning with Kathleen Dunn, with Ben Marins, On Point, Talk of the Nation, but also fun stuff, informative stuff, People's Pharmacy, A Prairie Home Companion, Old Time Radio Drama, many others you've come to rely on. WPR gives you a great window on the world. There's nothing else like it. Support this great mix of programs with your contribution at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Yeah, we still have that $5,000 grant in place right now, and we are 26 pledges into that 80-pledge goal. So won't you help us reach that goal and double your pledge with a call right now to 888-202-2552 or pledge online at WPR.org.
Support Wisconsin Public Radio and support a Wisconsin Public Radio with fewer days of pledge drive. You can do it. You can make these pledge drives shorter in the future if we're successful in this one with your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Help pay for a service that you value, a service that really is unique to Wisconsin and wouldn't be here without you. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. We will continue talking politics in this half hour of the show with UW-Madison political scientist Charles Franklin. And we will continue taking your pledges of support during our Half the Time pledge drive. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 7:36 on this Thursday, October the 13th. And we are still working toward our 80-pledge goal. We are getting closer and closer. Thank you very much. 48 pledges so far this hour, and there is still time for you to get in on this $5,000 matching grant. Your pledge of any amount is matched up to $5,000. WPR.org or 888-202-2552 for you to support Wisconsin Public Radio and have your pledge matched by current members who have donated to encourage you to support Wisconsin Public Radio. Well, we are going to talk national politics during this segment of the show, as we talked about state politics in our previous segment. And Charles Franklin, let's talk a little bit about what's new on the presidential campaign trail. While we don't want to just focus in on the horse race stuff, Herman Cain is leading in a number of polls. Now, Herman Cain is the former CEO of Godfather's Pizza, and not somebody that you might have thought would be in the top tier, and here he is leading. Why is this?
This Republican race this year is the most fascinating thing. And Kane, after winning the Florida straw poll a couple of weeks ago, one in which Rick Perry had conspicuously not done well also, Kane has zoomed to the top, even not a lot ahead of Mitt Romney. In the NBC poll yesterday, Kane was at 27, Romney at 23. What's so interesting about this is for the last 8 months, Mitt Romney has consistently been between about 18 or 19% support and 25% support, mostly in the low 20s. And he hasn't really moved a whole lot one way or another. But there have been a series of Republican possibilities who have been talked about or entered the race and zoomed up, only to almost immediately turn around and zoom down. It started with Donald Trump, who ultimately didn't get in the race, but Michelle Bachmann rose to near 20% support and then plummeted. Rick Perry rose to over 30% support and then plummeted. And now Herman Cain has risen to the mid-20s or high 20s. We don't know whether he will plummet. But this pattern is so interesting because it says that within the Republican Party, there's a significant group, around 25% or so, that favor Mitt Romney. But those that don't have been looking for an alternative candidate, but so far each one they've sampled and moved towards has turned out not to really be what they were looking for, and they've backed off equally sharply from it. I think the best news for Mitt Romney is that while he may not be the first choice of more than a quarter in the current polls, he's the first or second choice of a much bigger percentage. And so we have this peculiar situation of journalists in the media describing Romney as the front runner, even as first Rick Perry moves ahead of him, Herman Cain moves ahead of him. And so it's a very interesting and unsettled dynamic as the not Mitt Romney people have searched and searched for a candidate.
You know, I think it was mainly some big name moderate Republicans were trying to get New Jersey Governor Chris Christie to run. And he said, again, no. And just the other day, he endorsed Mitt Romney. Is this going to be a game changer in any way?
You know, I don't think so. I think Chris Christie appeals to both more moderate and many conservative GOP members. In many ways, his approach to government in New Jersey, especially with respect to benefits and wages of public workers, has been a model for Governor Walker and other Republican governors, Governor Kasich in Ohio and others, to follow in Christie's footsteps. But once he took himself out of the race, I don't think I'm convinced that his endorsement itself carries a lot of followers who otherwise wouldn't have been for Romney, carries them to him. Though I do think Christie is an important voice within the party. So to that extent, his endorsement matters.
Yeah. Let me ask you about the political impact of the Occupy Wall Street movement, which has gone to many other cities now and is indeed coming to Wisconsin, or some say coming back to Wisconsin, some say. Is this going to, what kind of impact is this going to have in the 2012 presidential race?
A little hard to say this early. It is voicing concerns that many, especially on the left within the Democratic Party, have felt haven't been emphasized enough, especially targeting Wall Street and the banks as the source of the economic problems, arguing that they have benefited and been bailed out while the rest of us, as they say, the 99%, have not. It also emphasizes issues of growing income and wealth inequality in the country, which is a statistical fact, but how it gets translated into a political issue it has been the question. So I think Occupy Wall Street is part of that and setting that dialogue. Democrats welcome it. Interestingly, a lot of Republicans also welcome it as a foil to attack the opposition from a Republican point of view that Occupy Wall Street is too far to the left and is a target for them as well. So we see the great divide where both parties can look on the same thing and come to opposite conclusions.
Let's take a call from Bernie in Elkhorn. Hello, Bernie.
Hi, good morning to you both. A question for the professor. When I hear poll results, I rarely, or in fact never, hear Ron Paul's name mentioned. And I'm curious if you know, when these major media outlets phrase the question, do they ask people simply which Republican would you vote for if you're going to vote in the primary? Or do they show bias by narrowing the field to, say, four or five names that they're more favorable to, and therefore a candidate like Ron Paul might not even be among the selections?
Yeah, thank you, Bernie. That's a great question. Almost all of the pollsters, and certainly all of the national pollsters, include a list of the candidates rather than just asking, who are you going to vote for? And that list always has included Ron Paul this year. He's been in every poll that I've looked at. I've got over 128 national polls in my database on this, and Paul is in, I think, every one of them, if he's missing from any at all. Right now, his support trend is about 8% support. You can see some polls where he's up at 10 or 11. You can also see a few where he's down at 6 or so. You know, earlier I was talking about how some Republicans have surged and then fallen off. The striking thing about Paul is how consistent his support has been. It's been in the high single digits, 8, 9%, and has almost not moved over that time. It shows how strong Paul's supporters are and how faithful they are in supporting him, but it also shows how much difficulty he's had breaking through to the larger GOP electorate.
Another issue in the news this week, it's state and national. 19 protesters were arrested yesterday when they entered the downtown Milwaukee office of U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, and they demanded a meeting with Ron Johnson. They were also, they say, protesting his vote against President Obama's jobs bill. Talk a little bit about the defeat of the jobs bill and what happens now and how this plays into the presidential race.
Well, here we are back to the question of whether it's a do-nothing Congress or not. The Democrats had a hard time getting even 50 votes for this, holding the vote open for a long time for one more vote to come in. But it didn't come close to the 60 votes it needed to overcome the filibuster. That's in the Senate, where Democrats still have a majority. The chance of the bill passing in the Republican-controlled House was surely always zero from the beginning. Now President Obama says that he's willing to see the parts of the bill broken apart and voted on separately, something he had resisted before. And so there are some areas, extension of the tax holiday for Social Security payments, one which both parties somewhat favor, though there are reservations even there. Road construction, the infrastructure projects, again, have more support. But how to pay for it, that would be very, very controversial, I think, and would have a hard time getting a majority in both the House and the Senate. So there's some remaining difficulties in this. From the president's point of view, of course, it's also a way of defining himself versus Republicans in the Congress, and we'll certainly hear a lot more about that in the campaign to come.
There's another bill that just made some headlines yesterday. A Republican state lawmaker is planning on introducing a bill, or has introduced a bill, that would change the way the electoral college votes in Wisconsin are distributed to the winners of the presidential race. Right now, it's winner take all, and this bill apparently would divvy them up depending on the percentage of votes that either candidate got.
That's right. Assigning votes proportionally, or depending on who won each congressional district, and then assigning the two Senate represented votes in the Electoral College by the winner of the state. Pennsylvania pioneered this a few weeks ago and is still debating it. Interestingly, conservative columnist George Will came out this week opposed to such fiddling with the Constitution. The Electoral College is governed by state law. The existence of the Electoral College is constitutional, but states have the power to change how they allocate their electoral vote. And two states, small states, Nebraska and Maine, currently do assign electoral votes by congressional district. The interesting point here is if you think your party cannot win the state, then it's to your advantage to divide the vote proportionally, because then your party that otherwise would get zero picks up at least a minority of electoral votes, and you hurt the presumptive winner of your state by reducing their total vote. But the irony of this in Pennsylvania, where the issue has been debated for several weeks, is that many Republicans in Pennsylvania think that, you know, a Republican candidate could actually win Pennsylvania next time. And if we divide the vote this way, we could unexpectedly turn out to be hurting that Republican. I think the same story applies here in Wisconsin. Our 2000 election was decided by just 6,000 votes, 2004 by just 13,000 votes. This is a very winnable state, even if Democrats have generally won in recent years. To move forward with this legislation just as a political matter suggests that Republicans might actually find themselves hurting a presidential candidate.
Professor Franklin, I don't want to ask your prediction, but I guess I just what are we in store for in 2012? This is going to be just a really fascinating year for those of us who are political junkies, but maybe also a bruising year because of the divisions in this state.
I think certainly it is going to be a bruising year. We are so much a 50-50 state in all of the polling over Governor Walker, but also over national issues. I think the recall means that through the first half of the summer of the year, January through June or May in any case, we're going to be focused on the recall. It will be like having a governor's race in the late spring. And that probably will be a hard-fought, brutal race. Then we'll transition from those state issues to the fall campaign, with the presidential race being key and the U.S. Senate race being key. And so we'll have sort of a state focus in the first half of the year and a national focus in the second half. But lots and lots of television ads.
Oh, well. And I'm sure we will talk with you as this process goes along. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Charles Franklin is a professor of political science at UW-Madison, and he is co-developer of pollsandvotes.com. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's about 8 minutes before 8 o'clock on this Thursday, October the 13th, and Rob Ferret is with me with some good news and some good news.
That's right. I am the bearer of good tidings. First of all, we issued that challenge match of $5,000 this hour, and you told us challenge accepted. We have met and exceeded that challenge for this hour. Thank
Yay,
you so much for helping
you
do that.
You.
Here's some more good news. We are just 14 pledges away from our goal of 80 pledges this hour. How about that? You can help us reach that goal with a pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Yes, it is. It's really, really gratifying to have you come through and support Wisconsin Public Radio. Still looking, though, for meeting the goal of this hour so we can make sure that we can do this pledge drive in half the time.
That's right. Let me update you on the big picture. This is our half the time pledge drive. We're trying to do 12 days of fundraising in just 6 days. We are trying to reach $1 million worth of fundraising in just 6 days on the air. We are now, here's the update, just over $437,000. That's a lot, and thank you so much for your pledges, but that just shows you how important these hourly goals are. We won't make that overall goal. We won't be able to have short pledges like this in the future unless we hit these goals. You can help us do that. You can support Wisconsin Public Radio and Shorter Pledge Drives at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
All right, I just want to, it's a lot of numbers, but we are at $437,000 right now.
Overall, and, the big picture.
And
yep.
We want to, by the end of the day on Monday, have a million some.
You got it.
Yeah.
You got it. It's a tall order, huh?
Yeah, it is a tall order. But if we do this, that means that maybe we can do this again, have a shorter pledge drive and more programming, a half the time pledge drive. So make your pledge of any amount, knowing that your pledge will be used to pay for the programming that you value here on Wisconsin Public Radio, and that you will be able to hear more of that programming if we're able to make these goals and make our overall goal for this half the time pledge drive. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Six more pledges now to hit our goal of 80 pledges this hour.
Yay.
I think we can do that,
yeah.
And I think we can go over our goal for this hour, which would be fantastic. It will help make up for hours maybe where we fall short somewhere else. Make that pledge now. There's lots of great reasons. You just heard one of them. You heard a great conversation with Professor Charles Franklin about what's going on in the state of Wisconsin, what lies ahead for state and national politics in this 50-50 state, as he called it. If you appreciate that kind of political analysis, and I know you do, that's why you're listening, make a pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I want to thank David from Cross Plains who pledged during this hour and said this: a new job extended my commute to 30 minutes one way. Listening to pop music and commercials for that long seemed like a waste of my time, so I tried Wisconsin Public Radio. The time I spend listening now is a major source of my news and education for the day. I used to feel drained and dumber when I got out of the car. Now I am smarter when I get to work.
Wow. Thank you so much, David. And I bet David's not the only one who has a story like that. I know, because I've heard similar stories. Wisconsin Public Radio, you heard it from David. It makes him smarter. Yep. A little bit of education, a little bit of information, and a little bit of entertainment. What's that worth to you? It was worth something to David because we heard that when he made his pledge. Make your pledge, tell your story, WPR.org, or you can call it in at 888-202-2552.
Well, I just love hosting this program, Rob, because I love talking about politics. I am a little bit of a political junkie. I love that we can focus in on state of Wisconsin politics, which is not something that everyone can do on radio stations that might be national. So therefore, we were able to focus in on politics. But we don't talk about just politics.
Right.
We talk about life. We talk about what's going on in Wisconsin. We talk about what's going on all over the world. And we talk about things that make our lives better. And I hope you support this programming with your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
When you listen to the show, when you call into the show, you're participating in this statewide community of listeners, of people who think about things, a worldwide community, because we hear from people all over the world who listen to Wisconsin Public Radio online. Now you can join that state and international community of members, of people who offer financial support to keep Wisconsin Public Radio strong. It's easy to do. It just takes a couple, 3 minutes with a pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Oh, Rob, five more pledges to go. Five. Count them. Five more pledges to go, and we will make this this hefty goal of 80 pledges during this hour. And it's a bigger goal because this is the half the time pledge drive.
Exactly.
So do be one of those five if you haven't yet already. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Just a couple more minutes before we hit to the end of the hour. You can keep pledging, of course, through the news. Maybe that computer's starting up now so you can make the pledge. Maybe you're walking over to the phone. If you're at the computer, WPR.org. It's our website. It'll talk you through the process or guide you through the process, or 888-202-2552.
Chris from Madison, thank you for your pledge. He says, the discussions I hear on Wisconsin Public Radio cover things like I would never hear anywhere else. Vital things like in-depth discussions on national security, social and economic issues. Thoughtful discussions that help me understand the issues. Thank you very much, Chris. How about you? WPR.org. www.thepetshow.org or 888-202-2552 and make your pledge of any amount.
That's right. Just three more pledges now to hit this goal. I think we can do it. I think we can do it with your help. Make that pledge of support, any amount, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Help make this Half the Time pledge drive a big success with your pledge.
You will make that pledge and you will feel really good about yourself because you supported a service you value at the amount you choose. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Rob, thanks very much.
Thanks, Joy, and thanks to you if you've pledged already.
Thank you so much for your support. One more pledge to go. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.